Ladies and gentlemen, Don Amici and Francis Langford in Philip Rapp's creation, The Bickersons.
Blanche.
Come on out from under that car. I want to talk to you.
What do you want? Can't you see I'm busy?
Where's Nature Boy?
Who's Nature Boy?
The cat. I haven't seen him all morning. I think he ran off.
He didn't run off. He's under the car with me.
Where?
Right here.
John, that black alley cat isn't ours. Nature Boy has a golden coat.
That's him. I've been petting him.
You've been wiping your hands on him.
Okay, so I've been wiping my hands on him. I couldn't find the rag.
Hey, look at that poor thing. Looks like he fell in a tar pit.
Well, he had no business to come sniffing around while I was draining the oil. Put him in the washing machine.
For a sane man, I really believe you want to do away with him.
How can you say a thing like that?
Don't fool me, John. I know what happened to the other cat we had.
What other cat?
The big gray one, Joy Boy.
Joy Boy?
You know, the one you said committed suicide after you caught him in the liquor closet.
He did commit suicide, Blanche. Cats have been known to commit suicide.
They don't hang themselves.
He didn't hang himself. He got his neck tangled in a ball of string, and I was trying to unloose it when you walked in. Don't start making me into a cat killer.
Stop using Nature Boy for a grease rag. How long are you going to be working on that pile of junk?
Till I get it fixed.
You finally get a vacation, and how do you spend it? Under a car.
Well, I'm happy here. Before you came out, it was nice and quiet.
You've got a whole week off from your job. Why don't you do something with it?
What do you want me to do, Blanche?
Go down and collect your unemployment insurance.
You want me thrown in jail? You know I'm getting paid while I'm on vacation.
Stop waving that oil can around. It's pouring all over the seat. Wipe it up, John.
Okay, hand me the cap.
Here, use this car. How much longer are you going to be?
I'm almost through. Grab hold of that wire, will you, Blanche?
This one?
Yeah. Feel anything?
No. Why?
Nothing. I just wanted to see if it was connected to the battery. Oh, take it easy. The battery is dead anyway. Gotta get it recharged.
No, you're not. You've squandered enough money on this car.
What are you talking about? The only things I've bought in the last 2 years are a windshield wiper and a crank handle.
If you didn't throw money away on all those fancy accessories, then... Yes, maybe we can afford a decent car.
There's nothing wrong with this car. Anybody will tell you that 1932 was a great year for him.
And why do you have to fool around with it so much?
I'm not fooling with it. You always have to make these minor adjustments till the car gets broken in. You better move, Blanche, unless you want to get this paint over you.
Are you going to paint the tires?
I have to. The tubes are showing through.
John, if you take my advice, you'll break this thing in.
I'm not making any trades unless I can get a good deal.
Well, how do you know you can? Have you tried the Smiling Irishman?
I tried the Smiling Irishman.
What did he say?
He didn't say anything. He laughed out loud.
That's because you're not a good businessman. I'll bet my brother-in-law Barney could make a good trade for you.
Barney?
Barney's a shrewd businessman. He can get things from people.
He got plenty from me, all right.
I wish you were more like him. Barney makes good everywhere he goes. Even when he was in the Army, he worked himself up to a field marshal.
He worked himself up to a buck private.
How did you say that? You know very well we got word they made him a field marshal.
He was a private and he was court-martialed. Not a field marshal.
Stop yelling, the neighbors are looking.
Well, don't wind me up about Barney. It's the one man I hate in the world more than that cat.
Sorry, John. I just thought we'd do something together on your vacation. Do you know the headlights are on?
Headlights? I thought the battery was dead. I must have had the wires crossed. Boy, what a lucky break.
Now you can give me a driving lesson.
Driving?
John, you've been promising me for 2 years you'd teach me how to drive.
Not today, Blanche.
Why not?
Well, it's such a nice day, I thought I might drive downtown and sneak into the ball game.
Never mind that ball game talk. I know what you're thinking of.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Murphy's Bar and Grill, and I'm not letting you go near that saloon again.
I never go near Murphy's Bar and Grill, and that's the farthest thing from my mind. Why must you always accuse me of being preoccupied with drinking?
All right, forget it. Have you got gas in the car?
Yes, I put a fifth in yesterday.
That's fine. When are you going to teach me to drive, or aren't you?
Oh, get in.
All right. Now, what do I do?
Just relax. Now, I want to explain a few things first. Teaching a wife to drive requires a great deal of patience and understanding. And we'll get along fine if you just listen to me and do as I tell you. If I tell you to put out your hand and slow down, don't step on the gas and speed up. If I say pull over to the right, do it now, not later. If I say there's a yellow light, come to a stop. Don't step on the gas and try to beat it. Because if you get away with it, from then on you'll be speeding, going through life. And I'll get a ticket, and I have license revoked, and it's all your fault. Get out of the car, friend!
You're not telling anything.
Well, you better not do anything. Now, start the motor. Shift the first, let out the clutch, and feed the gas slowly. Have you got that?
Yes.
Start the car.
Well, the seat's too far back.
It's not too far back.
But I can't see the radiator cap.
Why do you want to see the radiator cap?
How else can I aim it?
You steer it. You don't aim it. It's not a weapon. Let's go.
Now, don't bluff me. Let's see. Put the clutch in. Shift to first. Let the clutch up. Easy. The seat gas. There. Well, why aren't we moving?
You didn't start the motor.
What motor?
The one that comes with the clutch. What do you mean, what motor?
Don't snap at me.
I'm not snapping. Start the car.
All right.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Stop. Stop, stop, stop it.
What's wrong? Am I going too fast?
You're not moving. Take your foot off. Then the motor won't start unless you turn on the ignition.
Where's the ignition?
On the dashboard. There. He is in it.
Well, why do you have to lock it? Nobody's going to steal your ignition.
All right, you got it started. Now put it in first, let the clutch out easy, and you'll roll along smoothly and slowly.
John, where are you?
I'm in the glove compartment. Are you all right?
I'm fine. You're not hurt, are you, John?
No, I'm not hurt. But the car is finished. Are you satisfied now?
I just happened to think. Today's Friday the 13th.
Wouldn't have made any difference. I'm a doomed man, Blanche.
I'm sorry, John. Honest, I am.
Let's get out of this thing.
Have we got any insurance?
No.
Please forgive me.
Forget it.
I guess I don't deserve to live. I give you nothing but trouble.
Don't talk, Blanche.
Why don't you punish me? Get rid of me. I once read where a Russian farmer traded his wife for an old cow. Would you do that, John?
Do what?
Trade me for an old cow?
No. But I'd hate anybody to tempt me with a new Cadillac. Come on, Blanche, let's walk.
Hello? Oh, I know. I'm terribly sorry. I'll see if I can stop him. Good night. Just called again about your snoring. She's getting up a petition to have us thrown out of our apartment.
What for?
Because you're disturbing everybody's sleep. She says you sound like a hot kiss reciprocating for a clump draining a peat bog in front of you.
What are you talking about, Blanche?
You heard me. The neighbors won't stand for it much longer. That Mrs. Peavy says she's had enough. She's revolting.
I know. I've seen her. Husband's no bargain either. Put out the lights.
Stop it if you want to. I know you can. No other man snores like you.
How do you know?
I talk to my women friends. Their husbands sleep so quietly they have to keep waking them to see if they're dead.
No use. I get you coming or going.
That's the third call I've had this week. I wouldn't mind so much, except I can hardly walk to the phone on this horrible sprained ankle of mine.
Who told you to sprain your ankle?
Nobody told me. I was trying to hang my clothes in the closet, and I slid my foot on one of your old bourbon bottles.
That was blank. Did you break it?
No, it's only a break.
I mean the bottle.
The bottle was empty, and I might have known you wouldn't be thinking of me.
Always. Put out the lights.
I will not. My ankle's so swollen now, I think I better call the doctor.
You don't need the doctor. If you keep exercising it, it'll be fine. Go take a walk around the block.
I can't walk at all anymore.
How do you know until you test it? Go on, kick the cat a few times and see how it feels.
How can you be like that, John? Why don't you do something for me?
In the moment.
I can't understand what's happened to you, John. You used to be so considerate. Since you married me, you've got no sympathy at all.
I have, too. I got everybody's sympathy.
That's right. Add insult to injury. The least you can do is get up and massage my ankle.
Okay, I'll massage it. Where's the chicken fat?
You and your insane remedy. Go get one of those elastic bandages.
Where will I get an elastic bandage at 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's all night, Uncle. We got some here.
Blanche, darling, just rest now, and I'll get you the bandage in the morning.
What good is that? How do I know my ankle will still hurt in the morning?
I'll twist it. Please, Blanche, will you let me get a couple of hours sleep? You know I got an interview for a new job tomorrow.
You still haven't told me why you got fired, John.
I'll tell you why. It's because you keep me awake all night, and when I get to the office, I'm dead on my feet.
Just like a man. Blame me. Losing your job has nothing to do with losing your sleep.
Not much.
You don't concentrate on your work because you've lost your ambition. You're not the same man I married, John.
Brother, you can say that.
Whatever happened to your get up and go?
It got up and went.
I'll tell you what happened. You've lost interest in everything except that precious bourbon of yours.
Now, just a minute, Brian.
I married a great big corkscrew.
I resist that.
I don't care.
You can accuse me of not having any ambition or anything else, but drinking is not one of my failures.
No, it's one of your few successes.
The only reason I use bourbon is because the doctor prescribed it. He said I'd stop snoring if I took a jigger of bourbon and 2 aspirins every night.
That's not what you do, though.
Yes, it is.
It is not. You're 6 months behind on the aspirin and 2 years ahead on the bourbon.
Well, aspirin gives me a headache. Stop talking like that. I never touch the stuff when I'm working.
Then why do you keep getting fired?
Because no man can serve two masters.
Since when do I boss you around? You know very well I let you have your own way in almost everything I want.
You've been running me for years.
I have not.
It started right at the altar. When I said I do, you said, oh, no, you don't.
I said, put out the light.
You mean you're actually going to let me sleep?
I let you sleep for a whole week, didn't I?
3 days. And you wanted to stay with your sister. I didn't tell you to go.
Well, I just hate to think of what you've done to this place since I've been gone. I suppose you left a stack of dirty dishes in the sink.
No dishes.
Were the animals fed regularly?
Every day.
The water in the goldfish bowl should have been changed yesterday.
I changed it. I cleaned up everything.
How's the canary?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since I backed into his cage.
Don't blow your top. The canary's fine.
Now don't frighten me like that. Where's Nature Boy?
Who's Nature Boy?
The cat. Did you let him out tonight?
No.
Why not?
He never came in. Listen, Blanche, I knocked myself out working all day and then come home and have to play nursemaid to a broken-down canary and an alley cat.
He's a beautiful cat, and I love it.
Well, I hate him.
You wouldn't feel that way if you get a little friendly with him. It's easy to make up to a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you bring in something to play with?
I'll bring him a dog in the morning. Good night, Blanche.
I suppose I'll have to get some groceries in the morning. Are there any eggs for breakfast?
No.
Then you'll have to eat out.
Doesn't matter. I've been doing it for 3 days.
Why didn't you eat home? There was plenty of food here in the house. I left you enough food for a whole week.
Go to sleep.
I took the whole bathtub full of rice. What happened to it?
I took a bath in it.
Why didn't you eat it?
I told you a million times I can't stand the sight of rice.
Why not?
Because it's connected with one of the saddest mistakes in my life. And why don't you let me sleep?
You care how I feel? You'll be sorry after I'm gone.
Where are you going?
Leave me alone.
What's the matter, Blanche? Is it your ankle again? What is it?
No, I've got that other dreadful pain again.
What pain?
My head. I've had it off and on for 3 weeks.
Well, take it off now and go to sleep.
But, Ollie,
look, Blanche, I know about that pain in your head. You knocked it against the cupboard, and I happen to know you did it on purpose.
Well, what if I did? I only did it to get a little sympathy from you.
Blanche, you're the most selfish woman in the world.
You're always killing yourself to get my sympathy. Last year, you had your appendix removed. 6 months ago, you had your tonsils taken out. 2 weeks ago, you had 5 teeth pulled. You'll run out of parts before I...
You keep your voice down. You want to wake little George?
Who's little George?
Clara's baby.
Who's Clara?
My sister, the one I stayed with in Keypad. Have you forgotten that Clara and Barney had a baby?
Are you talking about that hulking dollop that weighs 17 pounds when he was born?
16, and he isn't hulking. He's 3 months old, and he barely weighs 90 pounds.
90 pounds?
And that's what his clothes are.
He only wears a diaper.
I told you to lower your voice, John. You'll wake him up.
Oh, how can he hear me in Peapack?
He isn't in Peapack. He's in the bathroom.
Bathroom? What's that elephant doing in my bathroom?
I brought him back with me. Clara and Barney are going to a formal at the United Nations Pool Hall.
Couldn't I get a sitter for one night?
Well, I wanted the baby here to keep me company while you're in the hospital.
I must be going out of my mind. What's this hospital bit?
Well, Dr. Hershey drains everything. You're not working now, and you've got the time. At 8 o'clock in the morning, he's going to operate on you and snip your pedicle.
What for?
To cure your sewing. I packed your bag and everything.
What does that man want from me? Last week, he wanted to shorten my uvula. Now he wants to snip my pedicle.
Now, don't go getting excited. Dr. Hershey says you're to get a good night's rest and be in a basal state for the operation.
I knew you were up to something. Put out the lights.
Yes, dear. Soon as you give George his 3 o'clock feeding.
What?
Warm it up and take it in. Go on, John. Get up and feed the baby.
Nobody would believe this. Where's my...
I didn't pack it in the bag. It's still under your pillow.
You packed everything else in there. Why didn't you pack the slipper?
Well, I didn't know how soon you'd be walking.
Walking? I thought he was going to operate on my nose.
He is, but you never can tell about complications.
What a life I lead. A short uvula, no pedicle, and one slipper.
Oh, hurry up and get George's formula before he starts to cry. And the cat's home again. Careful you don't step on him.
Where's his formula? I can't find any formula.
In the icebox, right next to the flounder I bought for dinner.
There's no flounder and no formula. Put out the light.
You look at the yellow bowl?
I looked in the yellow bowl.
Well, what's in it?
Just the cat.
John Pickerson, did that cat eat the flounder in George's food?
I don't know, but he's sitting in the icebox, picking his teeth with the bones and wiping his face with a diaper.
That's terrible. What do we feed little George?
Feed him the cat.
How can you be so heartless, John? The child has to be fed every half hour, and he's wasting away.
Wasting away? He wastes more than I do.
I think I hear him yell from already. Go in there and lock it.
I'll be glad to. Where's the rock?
Now, you stop talking like that. I'm responsible for that child, and you better see that he's fed.
Well, what do you want me to give him, Blanche?
Clara gave me a half a dozen cans of baby food. Go on, get up and boil him some.
I'll boil him. This is the nice rest I get before I go to the hospital to get my nose whacked off. Where's the stuff?
On the kitchen table, and you needn't warm it or put it into a dish. He's hungry enough to eat it as it is. Just take it to him in the can.
All right, all right.
Where
are the lights?
You gone crazy, John? What did he throw the can in there like that? How do you expect him to get at the food?
There's a can opener on the wall.
John Pickerson.
Oh, please, Blanche. He isn't hungry and he isn't crying. He's in there sleeping like a horse.
Even look at him.
I didn't have to look at him. I heard him snoring. Please let me get a little rest. I'll never be strong enough for the operation tomorrow.
Oh, don't be so dramatic about the operation. Thousands of people have operations every day. You wouldn't hear me carry on like that if I was going to have an operation.
Not much. You had to take ether to have glasses fitted.
Well, I'm very sensitive around the eyes. Anyway, the surgery you're going to have is not a bit serious.
It isn't going to be serious because I'm not gone. I'm not gone, baby.
You have to. I've already paid Dr. Hershey. He wanted $40 for the operation and $10 for the anesthetic.
I'll take the anesthetic without the operation.
You're getting the operation without the anesthetic.
What? Last straw, Blanche.
Now you've done it. George is awake.
Who's George?
The baby. You woke him up.
I don't care. I didn't send for him.
Well, you go get him. Bring him out here and I'll take care of him. Go on, John. Get George.
Oh, what's the use? Where's my mother?
You packed it back in your bag.
What did you pack these lace curtains in here for?
They're not lace curtains. Those are your shorts. I made a mistake. Instead of draining them in Rinso, I rinsed them in Drano.
Well, where's my other pair? Why didn't you pack those?
Well, I couldn't. The baby's wearing them.
Clara forgot to leave a change.
You should have bought him something.
Well, I tried. He wears an outsized diaper, and they have to be made to order. Hurry up and wheel him out.
3 months old. Look at the size of him. He's built like a brick schoolhouse.
Just perfectly normal and healthy thing. You can't help it if he's big. His mother and father are big.
Big what?
I think he's adorable.
He looks just like Clara. Turn him over. Let me see his face.
That is his face.
Oh. Was this crib made to order for him?
Of course not. You can buy them anywhere for $3.98.
So that's little George.
Yes, and I'm going to have the pleasure of him all the time you're in the hospital. Look at him lying there like a little cherub. So innocent and sweet. Soon he'll be walking, and in a little while he'll begin to talk. He'll say some cute things. And his first day at school, he'll be so scared. Maybe he'll be a wonderful scholar or a great athlete. He'll grow into a man who is handsome and strong. He might be a doctor or a lawyer. He might even grow up to be the president of the United States. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking of, darling?
How can they make a crib like that for
$3.98? Good night, George.
Good night. Good night, George.
Now here are Don Amici and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Dickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. Mrs. Dickerson has finally realized her fondest dream, a new and larger home. It's just past midnight, and the moving man is carting the last of the Dickerson belongings into the spacious three-room apartment as the watchful Blanche supervises the unloading.
Listen. No, wait! Put that in the bedroom. The bureau goes into the other room to the left.
Yes, ma'am.
I never realized we had so much stuff. I just can't bear to throw anything away.
No, ma'am.
I guess all married people are like that. Are you married?
No, ma'am. I walk this way from carrying heavy furniture.
Oh. Have you got all the large pieces in?
Yes, ma'am. Where do you want this mummy?
Mummy? That's my husband. Right now. John? John!
No. What's the matter, Blanche?
I swear, I never saw a man like you. You can't be that sleepy.
Oh, I'm very sleepy.
I got one more growl to bring in.
Well, bring it.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You might at least offer to help that poor little moving man.
I did help
you
him.
You did not.
I did, too.
How can you say that? He even carried you up 4 flights of stairs.
Well, I was carrying 2 suitcases at the time.
No, John Dickerson, there's work to be done. You go in the kitchen and unpack that barrel of dishes.
Listen, Blanche, can't we do that in the morning?
No! You promised we'd get everything straightened out,
okay,
and I'm
okay,
not going
okay.
To...
Looks like a horse all day now.
Shall I set it down here, ma'am?
Oh, yes, please. Over in that corner. That's everything, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. 2 beds, 2 bureaus, 3 barrels, 11 suitcases, 2 trunks, 4 cartons, 1 crate, 1 table and 4 chairs, radio, stove and refrigerator, 9 cases of bourbon and 1 ice bag.
That's next to my list. How much do I owe you?
$19.75.
Oh, dear. All I've got is a $20 bill. You got change?
No, ma'am, but I'll carry the stove down and bring it up again if you want me to work out the extra quarter.
Oh, never mind. Here, you can keep the whole thing.
Thanks. Fix for breaking my back. I should have been a bookman.
What a mess. Where in the world do I begin? I wonder if John can nail the pictures on the wall without disturbing the other tenants. John? John? Where is that man? Sleep in a barrel. John, get out of that barrel.
No!
Get out.
Get out, Blanche. What's wrong? Why didn't you let me sleep? What do you want? What do you want, Blanche?
Get out of that barrel. I bet you broke all my dishes.
Only one. Here.
What did you do that for? You broke the handle off my chafing dish.
Well, it was chafing me.
Don't you curl up in there again. Come on, you wake up and start unpacking these things.
No.
I don't know why I have to...
John, more dishes?
No, less.
What's the matter with you? How can you be so clumsy?
I couldn't help it. They stuck to my overcoat.
You can't help anything. John, the cat.
What about him?
Where is he? He's lost, and it's all your fault. I begged you to take care of him and see that he got here safely.
He'll get here. They'll deliver him in the morning.
How do you know?
I put him in a sack and dropped him in the mailbox.
John, you get
him. Oh, stop blowing your cork. I didn't put him in any mailbox.
Well, don't scare me like that. You'd better go out and look for him, John.
Blanche, I guarantee you that cat will be here in the morning.
What makes you so sure?
Because I tied a label around his neck with our new address on it.
Well, what good is that? He can't read.
I know he can't read, but people can read, and somebody's bound to pick him up and deliver him. Heaven forbid.
You hate that cat, don't you?
I don't hate him at all.
You do, too.
I do not. I love the cat. I love the canary, and I love you. I don't know which one of you I love the most.
If the house ever caught fire, which would you save first, the cat, the canary, or me?
Me. Now, look, Blanche, let's just throw the mattresses down on the floor and get some sleep.
I don't see how you can sleep anyway. Haven't you got any romance in your soul?
Blanche, it's almost 2 o'clock in the morning.
I don't care. For the first time since we got married, we have a real home, and you didn't even carry me across the threshold.
Carry you across the threshold? That's for newlyweds.
Well, what of it? We've only been married 8 years.
Well, I can't carry a grudge that long.
You changed, John. I remember when you pleaded to carry me across the threshold.
Oh, forget it.
I won't forget it. Why don't you carry me, John?
I'm too tired.
Only a husband could talk like that. You're certainly not as gallant as when you were a boy.
Well, you're not as buoyant as when you were a gal.
I'm telling you right now, John, I won't let you sleep one wink until you pick me up and carry me across the threshold.
Nobody would believe this. Come on. Can't even get my arms around you.
Put down that barrel. I'm over here.
Well, let's go.
You needn't be so rough. Just carry me over the door and... John, you're carrying me to the window.
Well, how can I see with the lights off?
Oh, put me down. Oh!
I'm sorry. I thought the mattress was under you.
What do you care? You wouldn't care if I broke every bone in my body. You hate me.
Oh, I don't hate you, Blanche.
You do, you do, you do. Why don't you say you're sorry you married me?
Because I'm not. Blanche, why don't you stop tormenting me?
Am I the only wife in the world for you?
You're the only wife in the world for me.
You're lying. Swear.
I swear I'm lying.
What? I never expected the first night in our new apartment would be like this. I've been looking forward to this day for years.
Well, if you'll just calm down and let me get some rest, I'll be able to appreciate it.
Don't you like the place, John?
Oh, I love it.
I know we can be happy here. There's lots of room, and it has such a wonderful kitchen.
Still don't know how you managed to get this apartment for a measly $30 a month. We're paying 50 for that goat's nest we lived in. How did you do it, Blanche?
Oh, I just used my head. I'm not as stupid as you think I am, you know.
Oh, I'm sure you're not. What's your alarm clock?
Yes, I set it.
For 6:30?
4:30.
4:30? Who gets up at 4:30?
You do. You have to bank the furnace.
What are you talking about? This is an apartment house. The janitor banks the furnace.
You're the janitor.
I won't do it. I won't do it, I tell you. You must be out of your mind. I work 17 hours a day at the office. I'm not going to come home and scrub the floors and be a janitor. We're getting out of here. You hear me tonight?
We can't leave here. They're bringing the piano tomorrow.
Piano? What piano?
Well, this is such a beautiful apartment and our furniture is so shabby. So I went out and bought a piano.
Oh, Blanche.
We have 5 years to pay for it and I only had to give them $100 down.
Where'd you get $100?
I took it from the sugar bowl you had hidden in the closet.
Fine, that money was for my life insurance. They'll lapse my policy.
No, they won't. I wrote them and told them to deduct it from the money they owe us when you drop dead.
Don't pay them.
We get
you say it.
I don't care what I say. How could you squander my hard-earned money like that? I deny myself everything. I've been sewing sleeves on your old drawers and wearing them for sweatshirts. Yesterday, I picked a fight with an Indian because I couldn't afford a haircut. I don't even own a pair of pants. I just slap an under on my undershirt and gallop to work as a marathon runner. I never spent a nickel on myself.
You came home in a taxi yesterday.
That was an ambulance. I threw myself out of the office window just to get a free ride. You can't go out, Deanna, do you hear me? Now, I'm not going to stay here and be a janitor.
Wait a minute, John. Don't be hasty. Just listen to reason.
I'm deaf.
I'll cancel the piano. But I must have this apartment. It's got an extra bedroom.
We don't need an extra bedroom. One bedroom isn't enough for the two of us.
John, you don't understand. It isn't always going to be just the two of us. I only found out today that in a few months we're going to have another mouth to feed.
Blanche, you mean?
Yes. My mother's coming to live with us.
Good night, Blanche.
Good night, John.